gossiping happens. Houston, H-Town.
Still waiting on that heifer, Julio.
Everybody, the heifers are in the building. Heifer one, heifer two, I see you. What's going on, heifer?
Oh, hey, girl.
Oh, you don't act like a delay. You hear me loud and clear. Don't start that tonight. Don't start.
I didn't do no delay.
Okay, I got
that. That's you. It's all in your head moving.
It's in your mind, gold mine. It's all in your mind. You visualize it, it will come. That's what we're doing.
Part. Speaking of that.
What's up, everybody in the audience?
And it will come. Let's welcome the Super Blue Moon.
That's true. Let's go ahead and get that off before we start doing our greetings. So go ahead and do your Blue Moon breakdown.
Well, you know, today is a manifestation night, Super Blue Moon, every 7 years. This happens to be the second full moon, but this is a special one.
Mm.
So if you got crystals, put them out there, get them charged, Ooh. Make you a manifestation list. Know that it is already yours.
Yes.
Put it out there to the moon and the universe.
Beautiful.
You such an ass. I'm like, you know why? Do I bother with you?
Look, I'm just sorry. It's a super nightmare. So you guys, if you guys have been wanting something in your life, you've been wanting some peace, you've been wanting some success, you've been wanting just to elevate yourself, tonight is the night to do it. You ain't got to get butt naked like our boy Mookie G mentioned earlier.
You know what? I told Mookie, between Mookie and Jules talking about they going to go out there flashing the full blue moon. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't insult the universe. The universe already know what you're working with. They don't need to see it.
So let's give a shout out to our people in the audience. Thank you guys for joining us. We got Cheryl in the building, Granny's in the building, Blair, Derek Tuggle, Mr. Tuggle in the building. Let's see who else we got up in this piece. Prince is in the building. So that's all I see for right now.
No, but Deacon just came in.
You know, oh my God, Mookie just came in. We'll see how long Mookie does. And Deacon, freaking Deacon. I'm gonna tell you, we were just talking about your ass, Deacon, before
we went live. You know, I told Michelle Deacon is going to have to change his name off of Instagram. Because I believe people are seeing the name Deacon. And they already be like, ooh, maybe I could chat his ear off and try to be
right. I could talk to him. He can lead my path to my path.
Yeah, I think it's your name that's luring all these low levels in.
So I think that's the ticket, Rocky. Maybe he changed his screen name. Yeah. But I'm glad everybody. What's up, Lovable? What's going on? I said, Granny. But I'm going to hit this real quick because my girl Jules sent me a clip I did not have a chance to use. I don't really want to see it again. There's clips of Kanye West on a boat with his wife,
sure,
with his ass out.
That's first of all, a romantic sexual evening, okay?
And clearly, it had to be some favors going on. Oh, I'm just telling you.
It was a BJ on the river. It was a BJ river. And that's why I say for Kanye, it was probably very romantic. He had the water going underneath him, BJ, you know, the scenery. It was probably lovely.
I'm sure it was, but his ass crack was not part of the scenery. I could have done without that part, okay?
What, you want to see the front part, bro?
I don't want to see none of it. What's going on, D? What's going on, Josita? But I had to just bring that up. Along with, I know y'all seen this clip of Mitch McConnell floating around here where he is at a conference. And he freezes like he didn't forget.
Yeah, are you gonna run? You know what? You know, and I was petty. I was on DL Hughley's page, and I posted my comment was, if funeral was past due was a person, Mitch McConnell is the funeral is past due like a year ago,
a couple of years ago.
Dead.
Girl, but I'm telling you, it's not a funny situation, but with all the dirt that Mitch McConnell's responsible for, I can't really have to sympathy.
Trying not to cuss. You don't make me cuss. Time out. I don't want to. F Mitch McConnell. What is old racist tale?
What up, Jack Guns? Yo, I'm just saying, this is the second time he done shut down during the press conference. What up, Jules? What up, Jennifer? And
you think he may be one of them alien bots or something?
He could be, because he's been around.
You know what? Maybe he has died. and they got the alien in his dead skin pretending, and they having a glitch.
But my thing is, you know, they're asking if he's going to run for re-election in 2026. Dog, it's been past due. Sometimes you've done a job long enough, and it's time to just walk away.
They need some younger blood in those seats.
Yeah, they do.
They need younger blood in those seats. And Mitch McConnell can't run. He's going to be dead by then. That's 3 more years. He ain't got 3 years.
I have to agree with you on that one. But look, we got a great show for you guys tonight because as women, Rocky and I talked amongst each other along with our other girlfriends about what's going on with love, what's going on with men in general. But Rocky and I only have an interest in black men, so that's why we narrowed it down to that that title.
But girl, after I've been watching a lot of this stuff, I may have to cross the street. Go get me some vanilla wafers. I don't want to, but damn.
Girl, you know what? And the sad part about that shit is, I think it was an article out years ago about how more black women are dating. They're being more open to dating black, not black men, but outside their race. Men. Right. What's going on, Bad Apple? But
black women, we do stay loyal. We only
date
black men. And I'm sorry, but a lot of black boys are dropping the ball.
What a treat.
With their trauma, with their drama, with wanting to be a hoe. And it's just like, you do realize as you get older, the same effect for a woman is it goes with a man.
Exactly.
Especially if you old and broke. See, if you old with a lot of money, and I don't mean like little money, I mean like Jay-Z money. You
right, right.
Fool. You a young chick and get on your arm.
Right, right.
But when you are old, broke,
it don't look good.
It ain't gonna work, sweetheart. I'm just keeping it. I'm
just saying, so we want to tackle this topic of black masculinity and love, and I want to show this clip before we bring our special guest on. So the clip is, I guess, men talking amongst men, or really, it's a mixture. No,
well, they were asked the question, what was masculinity to them?
Right.
So you
okay.
had the white boy and the cowboy had, he gave his, and the black dude gave his.
Right. So let's just check out this clip, and then we're going to go right into this conversation. Check it out.
I'm a black man. From the hood, to me, being a man is knowing when to be soft.
Point number one is a man who walks with God. Point number two is a man who stands on principle. Point number three, which is a masculine man, is someone who is willing to sacrifice for point four, the people that he leads. A true man is a leader. And number five, a masculine man is never a coward.
That's a lot there.
Yeah. Male and female matters. God gives you one of those identities. You take on that role. And now you're responsible for fulfilling that role. There's a masculine crisis because men are not taking responsibilities for the God-given roles that they have in society. And so when you take away the need to say, God made you this or God made you this, now you don't have to take responsibility for not fulfilling what you were called to do.
When you do that, you also take away other things that somebody else may do. If I have a woman or a partner that wants to take on certain roles and I say, hey, those are my roles that God gave me in society, now I'm suppressing that person. Like at the end of the day, we're all human beings.
It's interesting that we can put it into racial terms that you find that the black guy behaves more like a woman. His thought process is more like a woman. He's lost his real identity. He's talking about there shouldn't be roles, you know. He's supposed to be the one that is setting the tone. He's supposed to be the one that is setting the standard for his home, for society, for his community. And he just sounds very lost, where the cowboy hat guy, he's very determined and he's very resolute. He's matter of fact. He's not wishy-washy. And he sounds like somebody you can depend on. And this other guy sounds like, how you doing?
What are you doing?
And I have to also note the aggression on his face.
Yeah.
That survival mode. And what does the hood have to do with it?
Well, this is something I had to bring a very intelligent brother on for. We've had him on before. He is an author. You guys have got to pick up his book. We had him on last time. We were talking about this over-sexualization of black women. He also has another book, Letter to My Daughters. Please, you guys, welcome. And please follow author Avery Washington's in the building.
What's happening, Rochelle? What's happening? How y'all doing?
I'm doing lovely, but I got to say this, Avery. I got to go with the white boy on that one, okay? If I had to choose on who I was on date from common sense and feeling like I was going to be protected and leave, I got to go with the white boy.
But you know what, though? That dude is an individual, It's a lot of black men out there that are positive, that are leaders, that are good role models. So please do not generalize us, and please do not leave us.
Sir, you are married, so we can't speak on you. Okay, you already taken. I know you that brother.
I'm sure he knows and surrounds himself with other men of the same mindset. Yes.
Of course.
Right. So
but I agree ahead. With the cowboy tremendously because, you know, I've been married almost 25 years and I've been raising three daughters. So I am the leader of my home. I have to be the leader. And I think something that they didn't mention, I think being masculine is also mastering your emotions. Because as a man, sometimes I can get to the point my wife want to choke somebody in the street. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I might take myself out of position to be able to provide and take care of my family. So also not just that, but just mastering your emotions when you're in disagreements with your, you know, significant other, with your wife, with your girlfriend, because we can say some hurtful things when we're emotional. So I think a man needs to check his emotions, be in tune with his emotions, but know how to master them so he can communicate well with his significant other.
And you know, yes. There was another thing where they said a lot of black men are in jail because of not controlling emotions.
Facts. That's facts. And, you know, I had to learn within my marriage at the beginning because it was rocky, because I wasn't in touch with my emotions, because when I would have disagreements with my wife, I was always have these disagreements based on facts. So my arguments were always factual, and she would, you know, say how she felt emotionally, yeah. But I could never hear her because I wasn't in touch with my emotions. So in order for us to meet each other on the same plane, I had to step back and say, you know what? Why is she feeling this way? Let me stop spitting out these facts on what I feel is factual, and let me get into the emotional part. And once I did that, we had better communication and a better and closer relationship. And I think a lot of men need to understand that we need to really, you know, stay in tune and touch with our emotions and share our emotions with our wives, with our girlfriends. There's nothing soft like the black guy said about sharing your emotions.
I didn't understand where that came woman. From.
Yeah, that's soft.
Like, soft.
Yeah, soft line.
It's obvious he's dealing with trauma because it's all over his face, just like you said, Rochelle.
Yeah. That's why I said that would be the first thing that would, just not what he was saying, is his face is so tense and so guarded. I can tell he's in survival mode.
Yep.
And I don't want to
call lose because he will lose survival mode because he's emotional.
That's me. My thing is, if I'm living with you or we dating, I shouldn't have to deal with you in survival mode because you should feel safe with me. I should feel safe with you.
Right.
And I'm glad you said that because men are practical when it comes to thinking. And women, we're emotional. I'm so glad you said that men have got to learn that emotional, because if you don't, you'll never understand your woman.
Mm-hmm.
It took some time for me to learn. So that was something I learned within the relationship. I didn't come to the relationship like that. I had to learn it.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people do, you know, a lot of men that may have not been exposed to the love and too much trauma over love. And when they finally get it, it's almost like a new challenge because it's uncharted waters. You know what I mean?
Well, they're probably used to the toxic. They like, I know how to deal with this woman because I'm used to toxic. I'm used to the nonsense. So I know how to deal with now this woman loving on me and being caring and nurturing me. I don't know how he can't identify with that.
Yeah. But, you know, I had to ask Avery this question. Can you share your perspective on how black masculinity is often portrayed in media and society, and how it impacts the relationships and self-identity?
I got to touch on something that I looked at today. This cis man agenda that they're pushing out there. This is ridiculous the way they're confusing our kids. There's a lot of programming that's going on. A lot of us have discussions, you know, about the kids are being soft these days. They're not like our generations. Yep. And I beg to differ on that. I don't think the kids are soft. I think they're being programmed more than we were programmed when we were coming up. When we were coming up, we didn't have these terms that are being created every day to confuse who we are. You have kids nowadays that go to school, young boys that are masculine. And if somebody says that, hey, how do you feel about homosexuality. And if that little boy says he disagrees with it, they'll quickly say that he's homophobic. So now that little boy has an issue with himself because he's thinking, man, maybe something's wrong with me, you know? So a lot of our kids are being programmed in the wrong way to where they're confused. And once you're confused and you're lost, you can easily become a follower. And I think that's what this government is doing to our kids with social media, with TV. All of this is programming.
That's true. And I know Michelle's son, my nephew, is very, you know, macho when it comes to that. And I did have
Because of your dad.
Yeah. And I had to talk because we went to buy a candle and it was a man that was dressed as a woman. And I knew immediately when he started speaking and he was like, ugh. So I was like, look, you don't have to agree with it because that's not you. But I did tell him just respect people for who they choose, what they choose to do. Laws that don't affect you, you ain't got to go along with it. But just respect people in general. I'm not going to tell him he's homophobic. I'm not going to tell him anything about how he feels wrong. Just respect people.
And that's how I exactly feel. I have nothing against anybody of any nationality, any sex or whatever. But what I don't like is when an agenda is being pushed. They came up with this term, cis man. If you look it up, it's really just saying that you're a man. Cis woman is just saying you're a woman. It's saying that you identify with what you were born as when you were born. So why does this word cis has to be in front of man and woman?
Well, it's not going to be in front of me. Because what we're not going to do, what we're not going to do is give me new identifying ways. No, I am woman.
Yeah.
And that's all you need to know.
Period.
And as parents, we need to put our foot down and make sure that these schools are teaching our kids these things also. So right, I live in Katy. Katy School District just approved that teachers have the responsibility to tell the parents what their children are identifying as at school.
Now, I find this crazy. And, you know, this is crazy. They pushing this agenda, but Black history has no place in schools because it's going to make the children feel bad.
Feel bad, yeah.
And our Black children feel bad every day when they walk out the house.
Yeah.
It's sad, but the priorities in our society. But I like that answer on that one.
Your question also, your father, and I see this all the time, he's a strong role model for Kevin. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's what we need. If we don't have a father, I was raised in a single parent home by my mother. So that's a myth that women can't raise masculine and strong men. All you have to do is have strong male role models in their lives, like your father, be active in their lives and encourage them and teach them everything that they need to know, and they'll be okay. So, you know, that's a big myth.
Yeah.
And women not dressing them as girls, and women not trying to make that son her husband. Let him be a young man.
Yeah.
I hate that term that a lot of people run with, that single mother can't raise a man. And like, look, this is why I have a positive male role model in his life. There's no way in the world I can teach my son how to be a man. I can only teach him about instinct and, you know, what he should be looking out for. But as far as manhood, no, his grandfather's a prime and great example of that.
Yeah, Daddy loves taking, you know, spending time with Kevin. But I had learned before the Spaniards invaded Africa that there was no father role like that back in the day, that women would pick men, have, you know, and the strongest man have children. They would pass this man around like a booty call, you know, pass them and we'll all be pregnant. And when they got tired of them, it was almost like what you would say, the lioness and one male lion. And when they got tired of them, then that's what I heard how they used to do it. This marriage thing and, having, you know, a father there was something that the Europeans did.
Right.
Now, I don't know, but I mean, I like the way we do it with, you know, the family, because I'm Americanized. So, I mean, you know, I'm not going to lie about that. But I want to ask Avery another thing about men having so much against feminine energy. And I think men don't realize, Black men, what feminine energy means, because everything that man said about protecting and putting his loved ones first and providing and loving is, to me, a man tapping into his feminine energy.
I mean, that should be instinctive. You're saying to be a protector.
Yeah.
yeah, you know, that's without thought. I'm going to do that without thought. But I really can't relate to men feeling that they're being overly feminine by being a protector or a provider. That's not even in my makeup. So I can't even relate to that, honestly. Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you.
But when you look up the definition for feminine energy, that's what it lists. And when women tell men, oh, it's love, it's how you love me. And it may not be the right terms that men want to hear, but to a woman, it is. When you are listening and hearing me, when you are protecting me, when you're taking care of me, making sure I'm good, that's love language to a woman. Mm-hmm. So when a woman says, oh, that means, you know, how you love me, I think men misunderstand it, because everything under that identifies a feminine energy for a man is love language for a woman.
Trina said they wasn't ready for that hard truth, Rocky.
Hey, but if you look, I like to look before I speak about things that I don't know myself. I want to look it up. I want to see what it is. I'm a person that likes, Michelle knows, I'll be listening, watching stuff that I may not ever use, but you never know, I may use it. But I'm like, I keep hearing this debate with men and black women all about feminine energy. What do you think energy? What do you think? So I'm like, let me look it up. And y'all need to be doing the same thing if you're going to have a debate about it.
Right.
Know what you're talking about, because everything listed is what the cowboy said at the end. For what you said comes natural, protecting your wife and your children, providing and making sure they're good. And you learn to listen to your woman by listening. I need to stop being so practical and learn to be more emotional. That is feminine energy. And this is an all man that y'all looking at right here.
Oh, man. Well, I appreciate the compliment, you know. Yes. Thanks for breaking it down to me. Hey, I had some feminine energy. Look, I had some feminine energy that I didn't even know about. Huh?
Yes, I mean, that is embracing. But we all possess feminine and masculine energy.
But you know what the thing about this whole situation is? The cultural norms and expectations influence. That's two different battles. You know, black men, I think it influences some of our brothers on how they approach love. Because you have these societal issues on how society is supposed to see you. And then you'll have, you know, just other issues as far as black men not taking love as seriously.
But see, when you say what society sees you to be or you supposed to be, man, I don't give a damn about society or whatever. I'm just being me. You know what I'm saying? So if you're a man, if you're a male, and you have to ask a woman to be a position in your house, you not in touch with your masculinity anyway. Because what I know what my wife did, my wife watched me. She saw what type of man I was, and she saw that I was a leader, and she followed. You know, if you're a leader, a woman is going to naturally follow you. You don't have to ask a woman if you can lead. And that's what I saw that the black guy was doing in the clip that you showed, you know?
Right.
You know, but you know, another thing too, having a great woman behind a man is great for a man's ego and self-esteem also. Yeah. Because like I shared with you all before, it was a time where my 21-year-old was born and I got laid off from General Electric. You know, the plant moved to Mexico for cheap labor. And when I got laid off, my wife was working for Shell Oil Company and she was like, look, don't worry about rushing out there to go get another job. We just had a baby. She say, just chill with the baby and bond with the baby. I got this. So me as a man, instead of being with a woman that was negative and say, damn, you got laid off, even though it wasn't my fault, you know. Damn, you got laid off. You ain't got no job. You know, I don't need you, this and that. You know, beating you down as a man, you know.
Yeah.
What she did, she lifted me up by saying, hey, I got you. So this is why people need to take time in relationships, because things don't happen overnight. You have to have growth within a relationship. So by her doing that, I told her, I said, look, when I'm making enough money to take care of us, you don't have to work anymore. And I got to that point, and my wife hadn't worked for so many years, but she just decided to go back to work, you know, now. So, you know, that means a lot also to have a woman in your corner to help you when things go wrong, because relationships, you're going to have ups and downs. My marriage hasn't been perfect at all. My financial status hasn't been perfect at all. So,
but that's good. I'm glad you pointed that out, because we do have a lot of sisters out here that are nourishing, caring, and they're like, I got your back. it's a temporary setback for you. So, you know, just do what you gotta do. But I think that had it been another twist on that, if your wife was the type of woman who was like, oh, you, like you said earlier, you ain't got no job, and what we gonna do about this? It would have been a nag session.
It won't be a nag session. It would have been like the girl I worked with that I didn't understand that man took care of her and her, a child that was not his. And the moment he lost his job, she left him. And I told her, that's you wrong.
Right.
I can't how do you do a man that's had your back and he just lost his job? You're not even going to try to see. No, you ran right to the next best thing in your mind.
But you know, on the real, I only stayed out of work for about 3 or 4 months because that wasn't me. But I was on a panel one time and it was a group of women. So I put the question out there. I asked them, I told them the same scenario I just told you. And I said, well, as a woman, why do you all feel that she trusted me to do that? Mm. And they educated me also because I wanted to hear not from just my wife, but just women outside of the home. And they told me that your wife had been watching you move from the beginning. And yeah, she knew what type of man she had.
Yeah.
So she felt safe and secure in doing that.
Yeah.
Because of the moves you made before.
She know you're not going to sit at home smoking blunts playing Nintendo all day.
play Xbox, huh?
Yeah, playing Xbox, fingers all numb. She knew what she had.
I'm telling you, because had you had a game chair headsets and was on that no, we're not doing
it. I'd be like, baby, you know, we got to pound your system since you're not working, okay? You can take a break, but that shit got to go. Wow. But no, I do agree. She had a hustler and a man that loved her.
Right.
And that she had a leader. She ain't had to worry about it. And when you have a leader and if you get wounded real quick, you got to let him heal. Keep the family going. And you know, our family went through that. And our mother was always the same. If daddy fell, I picking up the pieces.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why I said I didn't understand that thinking, but I would never rely and live with a man or marry a man that I don't feel that's gonna lead.
Now, before we go to a break, I want to ask Avery one more thing about elaborating on the challenges and stereotypes that Black men might face when it comes to expressing vulnerability and emotions within relationships. Because, you know, sometimes in our community, when Black men express either one, they're quickly labeled within the community. So do you think that has affected Black men from being a little bit more emotional or in touch?
Black men who don't know who they are. Black men who are not secure with themselves. A Black man that is secure with himself, like I said earlier, don't give a damn about what society think or what other people think. You can call me soft if you want to, but I've been married 25 years. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Success, your wife ain't gonna call you soft.
Yeah, she damn sure ain't gonna do that.
but
you know what though? Our masculinity is under attack. And another term that they use to attack our masculinity is toxic masculinity.
Yes, I've heard that term.
You got young boys that when they're masculine and someone call them, they say, hey, oh, you're toxic. You know, your masculinity is toxic. Then he's questioning himself again because of these new terms that they keep coming up with. But all he's doing is being a man. He being what he's supposed to be.
I get tired of that because I don't like weak men. I don't. I like a man that's masculine. Just don't be ignorant or the N-word.
Yeah,
just don't be, because there's a difference. You got men that are in survival mode that are just aggressive for no damn reason. But you still want your man to lead you. And I want my man to feel comfortable enough to tell me what's wrong, what's going on, without thinking I'm going to judge him. If my man wants to come by and slap me on the ass, ooh, okay, daddy. I mean, come on, let's not. Don't take the things away that's going to make the great pleasures of a relationship. And the sad thing is I see a lot of women pissing on masculinity.
That, I do see a lot of that.
And so I can't blame everything on men when women are doing so much damage to the dating pool, to what men expect. You give the coochie up to everybody and anybody that give you any attention because you're lonely. You get pissed if a man open a door for you.
Oh my God! Yes. Oh,
yeah. I don't want flowers. Well, bitch, I do. I love flowers. It's just these little things that women do that pick at men that is killing a lot of the masculinity and a lot of the dating that a lot of us deserve.
And Tuggle just made a good point in the comments. He said they also have a term for men who are in touch, calling them simps.
Yeah. That's another way of killing a man's masculinity.
I heard that would be true too.
But yeah, Tuggle didn't lie though. Because I do see other men and women. Oh girl, he a simp. Why? Because he care. Now, the dude that was online crying about being stood up on the first date, that was a simp. I feel like he was doing too much on the first date. He ain't even met the girl. But in a relationship that I've been dating you for a minute, I need you to be a simp every now and then.
But you know what? Some of the women that's calling them dudes simps probably hating because they ain't got nobody. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's true. That is true.
She might be calling him she might be saying he a simp, but trying to backdoor. You know what I'm saying?
Be no, DMs not. Later.
Yeah.
I was just playing.
Let's go to a quick break, y'all. We'll be right back. More with Avery Washington. Don't go nowhere.
We have the Gossiping Heifer says, love Marina.
Oh, yo, I love the Gossiping Heifer. You know the Gossiping Heifer.
What up? Yo, Gossiping Heifers. Yo, Gossiping Heifers.
I love them heifers.
They are, they come out of Houston. Those are my homies. I do their podcast. Houston Improv. December 1st through the 3rd is Houston Improv. I will be there. That's a fantastic club, by the way. I love Houston. I love Texas. I like performing in Texas, period. Yes. You guys, I love you guys. Shout out to the Gossiping Heifers. And yes, you can use my shout out, my video of me shouting you guys out. You can use it anytime you want to. You are the homies. That's real talk. Gossiping Heifers. Yeah.
All right. We are back and the other heifer is in the building.
Look, I'm laughing because you know how you got the little comments that you can talk to each other. I'm right up here tapping on this shit like it's my iPad trying to answer Avery.
You know what? Let's bring in our special guest, author Avery Washington is back in the building talking about black masculinity and love. So, brother, I know you got a lot of experiences. Is there anything particular you want to share that would be a great addition to the conversation?
Yes. When I was a young boy, my aunt and my mother used to always tell me, Avery, you need to watch how you speak in the people. You know, your tone is kind of aggressive. And I never realized my tone was aggressive, but I guess that was just a little boy coming up being masculine. So even in my teenage years, I continued to hear that from my mother and, you know, my aunt. Then dating, I started hearing that from women. And I never yelled or anything like that, but it's just my demeanor could be intimidating. And I didn't know that. Even when I got married, you know, my wife would say, Avery, you got to watch how you talking to them or watch your, because it just seemed like I was being aggressive, but I'm not. Right. So what I had to do.
You're mad or something.
Yeah, it looked like I'm mad or angry.
Yeah, that's how women perceive it. Like, oh, is he mad? What I do?
Yeah, some people. Some people see it as intimidating. So that was something I'm still working with, even within you know, my marriage and stuff like that. When I'm talking, making sure that it doesn't come across aggressive or intimidating, which my wife know me. She know that I'm not like that. But yeah, it just looks like I'm being intimidating.
But to someone. As a woman, it makes you feel a certain way because I've had this issue too. And I would be like, dude, why are you so aggressive? And I would be like, just chill. Mm-hmm. Hoosah. You don't have to be. I'm like, I'm not here to hurt you. So, you know.
Yeah, but it's not even yelling. It's just.
Yeah, you're talking. Not yelling. It's just a. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, mm-hmm. I'm not one of your niggas. I'm not your homie. Okay, and that's just how. And that's what I would say to this dude. I'm like, I'm not one of your boys. Mm-hmm. And that's even when, you know, if you're joking and you say certain names or playing, yo, dude, don't play with me like that. I'm not one of your homies.
Even dealing with my daughters, when I speak to my daughters, I have to try to rear back because I don't want to seem intimidating to them.
Your boy TC is world famous for that. Oh, I ain't gonna even lie. Let me tell you something. His mouth can get the best of us. And it's because we know him as our father, but we also know he's a very blunt spoken man. And I'm sure he's got, these are my daughters. They should know how I am and who I am. But at the same time, I'm like, dude, don't talk to me crazy. What's wrong with you? And you'd be like, I wasn't trying to talk to you crazy.
Yes,
like,
you was. Yes, you are aggressive. I could feel the energy of your feelings.
Yes.
You just worded it correctly about me. I'm too blunt. And I don't know any other way because I can't be fake about it. You know what I'm saying? So
but now see, I'm very blunt spoken. I have a lot of my daddy's ways. And I'm not as bad as my dad because I know when I'm talking to certain people, okay, this person's very sensitive. So let me find a way to deliver this message without hurting their feelings.
Right.
But when I'm mad or I don't like you, you get all of it. And I'm unapologetic because if I meant it, I'm not going to apologize. I can pop off and then I got to be like, damn, I got to go because I did too much.
But you see, y'all know me. So y'all know that I'm an introvert. But when I meet people that are genuine, I become an extrovert. So that's why I can sit here and laugh and joke and talk with y'all. But normally I'm not like that.
You've never came across aggressive. But when I met you, it was very clear. This is the man. Don't play.
He don't play. That's a big impression. Yeah, he don't play.
Like, how you doing? You know, he's a man. And it was very clear he's a married man. And I told you last time I talked to you, I love that about you because you carry this. I got a woman. I got a family and a wife. You ain't even got to make the announcement.
No, you don't.
Energy speaks it. Yeah. And that's another thing I want to talk about is men that you said that are just lost, don't know who they are. You got some men that do the ghost come back, play with these other hoes. We realize, oh, that hoe ain't shit. Let me come back. And they expect women to be patient and understanding. Oh. But I'm like, you got to grow up on your own.
I'm going to be real with you. Women do that too now. So,
I know. I know. But see, I ain't one of them women, so we ain't going to talk about that. But I do know women. Look, I was shocked when I first moved doing hair. God forgive me, she was ugly. She was ugly as sin. The man she was living with was good looking. And she had the nerve to be cheating on this man that was taking care of her. But this is why I don't do that work husband shit, because it was her work husband she was sleeping with, messing with. And then she had the nerve to get jealous when he started talking to somebody else. But, ho, you live with somebody that's caring for you. So you are correct. But being that you're a man, I feel like this is, and that's immaturity on both ends. I think that's also low self-esteem on both sides, man and women. You need to find yourself. But finding yourself falling on new penis and new coochie or just going into this ghost. You can't find yourself that way.
But you know, we had our years of being a hoe back in the day. You know what I'm saying? So at this age, that's played out. Ain't nothing cool or cute about being that out.
I'm so glad you said that, Avery, because I want to put something on the table. And I'm speaking from a personal aspect because I'm in a certain age bracket. In a certain age bracket of your life, there's things that you need to have accomplished. And I think, number one, that you have an idea on what companionship is and when you find a good person that really cares about you. Yeah. But Rocky sent me a bunch of videos the other day about how many nurses are talking about there's so many single black men alone in nursing homes. They got no wives. The kids don't want to check in on them. And I've actually experienced that as well as Rocky, where you have a man in a certain age bracket, they got a good woman, but at the same time, I'm
still
gonna play around and not take you seriously.
And the thing that tickles me with this, they don't treat the baby mother with like a major respect. They didn't marry her, first of all. But then you expect your kids to come back and wipe your ass. When they get older, they got their own life. I'm just keeping it 100.
It's 100 on that.
You for no, real, though. I find it
hilarious to see a hoish man or a man that's still immature doing princess shit and dates with their daughter when they're not even doing it with the mother or a woman in their life.
Yeah, see, they were supposed to be in that household being an example for that daughter.
Thank you. That's what I said. And I had this conversation with someone and I was just like, dude, your daughter is going to see how you treat women. You could take her out as much as you want. You could do all the daddy dates, all that you want. But if you're not being respectful to the girl you're dating or her mother, just simple respect, she gonna bring your ass home. And that nigga's eyes got big as saucers because he don't want that. She is going to bring you home. And that's why I feel like men that do that are hip.
And like I say, you know, you got some women that's out there just as bad as the men too. So, you know, one thing I know we need to stop doing though, as black folks, man, I don't know no other race of people that get on social media, anything and any platform and talk about how much they hate each other.
Now, I love black men. That's
you know, we gotta stop that. Me. Oh, yeah, I know y'all do, but I know y'all seen these clips where these women and these men talking about each other. It's just silly. And first of all, a man shouldn't be arguing with no woman anyway.
Thank you.
That's just like two women arguing. You know what I'm saying?
No, it is.
I don't understand that.
And you see what I look like
being on social media telling a woman I hate her.
or telling a woman how to be a woman. And, you know, I put a post up. How you gonna tell me how to be a woman? Are you because you a bitch? Excuse my French, but I'm not gonna be able to tell you, Avery, as a man, how to act like a man.
Exactly. How blunt you are, boy. Me and you just alike.
All I could do is tell a person how to treat me and what are my boundaries. Right. I can't sit and tell you this is how you should be a man. Don't tell me how to. I love all of my feminine men. And I embrace my masculine energy when I need it.
Yeah.
But my feminine energy when it comes to my man, oh, he get all that. If he coming correct. If he's a leader.
There you go.
If you're not a leader, you ain't getting shit. I ain't making no homemade biscuits for you, Negro. Bye.
You know what?
That's all he getting is biscuits?
I got a whole lot more. I got the Lord's made biscuits. I got my biscuits I can make with his hands.
I'm about going to be dry, huh?
Yeah, I don't mind working. We could do dumplings, honey, gumbo. Don't get there. Don't go, though.
You got to wet it up a little bit. You know, that gumbo, all that, yeah.
That part.
You know I'm from New Orleans, so I know about all that.
Oh, look. Yeah, Michelle know because I've been bragging because I've just made my first thing of gumbo. Shut up, Hoochie. It came out excellent because your homie T.C. Tompkins, he thinks he's a food expert. Michelle will agree.
He do. He should have been a food critic.
And too much salt. Oh, baby, this is good. He'll let you know when your he don't care if it's gonna hurt your feelings.
I see how y'all be cooking over there. I'll be checking y'all out.
Well, but our mama was a cook. Neither one of us touch our mama.
No,
I try, but that woman can cook anything and everything under the sun. That's what's wrong with my daddy. He's spoiled.
He's spoiled,
and mama, but my daddy spoiled her too. And what me and Michelle are used to is my father always had a fresh cooked homemade meal. He didn't get McDonald's. He came home with a clean house. His children had already been to school, had their ass washed, and taken care of.
But y'all spoiling him too. Because look,
yeah.
my wife, she out of town working right now. So my 17-year-old cooked my lunch and packed it for me.
But your daughter has learned from her mother.
Exactly.
And we learned from our mother how to take care of daddy.
That's why I know y'all spoiling them, because I'm getting spoiled over here.
But we spoiled too, though. We spoiled, so I feel like our father will not never be one of those men that Michelle was naming about being in a home or you finding dead 2 or 3 days later.
Oh, no, he won't be the one. No, he won't
be mad at y'all. Look, I'm going to look at y'all crazy then.
No, because our father loved us. So I have no problem loving my dad back. Even though he could be an asshole, I still love him.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make sure his health is good, make sure he ain't doing nothing stupid. And me and Michelle do the same thing with each other, as well as my nephew.
Mm-hmm.
We have a unit in this house that I thank God for. And I expect to have that same unit in my own personal house. The thing is finding men like that, I could deal with the little asshole ways. I could deal with that little shit. But it's the man. Getting into their manhood, you know, being okay being masculine, being okay with their feminine energy, and having an understanding. I know she emotional, and it sounds crazy to me, but learn how, like you did, let me understand her emotional ways.
And don't get me wrong, I'm far from perfect, because we all got some messed up ways, you know what I'm saying? We all dealing with trauma.
Yeah.
All of us, every human being on this earth is dealing with some type of trauma. Some just hide it better than others, you know.
Yeah, or some are smaller, because I think mine are petty traumas, but they still trauma.
But see, you might think they petty traumas, but the person you with might think is greater than that.
Well, you know what? I think the first key, like I was just telling Michelle earlier, is knowing your faults. Mm-hmm. You have to embrace them and acknowledge them. Right. Because if you don't know what's fucked up about you, you're going to be a real nasty, messed up person to whoever you are. I know I'm spoiled. I know I have a thing of when you saying something I don't want to hear, I'm going to start talking over your ass. I know this about me.
but your mate got to learn that about you and learn how to deal with it if he truly loves you and want to be with you.
But I also have to learn how to pull myself back and catch myself.
That's the compromise.
Mm-hmm. So I won't get on that nigga nerve.
Yeah. Does that work in sisterhood?
No, I mean, it means real talk. Michelle, you know, everybody knows their ways. They do not want to admit. Everybody will, oh, girl, I'm great at this. Okay, but what are you bad at? What do you have a hard time pulling back and controlling? I'm a control freak. That's another problem I have. I like to control situations and what's going on with me and my space.
Right. I'm like that too. I'm a Virgo, so I'm a perfectionist. So
there you go. And that, see, Libras and Virgos are so got too much in common.
And exactly. That gets on people's nerves too, you know what I'm saying? So
but the funny thing is, it's funny how Michelle sent me something being funny, but she was being honest on how she felt. Mm-hmm. And it was a Libra meme she sent me today. You know what I'm talking about. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me. Oh Lord, don't tell me what to do.
That's Rocky's ass.
That is me. The more you tell me you need to do this, my petty side be like, you know what? I ain't doing it now.
I saw that damn clip. I about rolled over. I said, if this ain't Rocky, no, the energy was dead on. But I wanted to also put in the mix about the historical and societal factors that shaped the perception of Black love and Black masculinity. Do you think that, you know, what society has put, you know, this is the way you're supposed to see Black masculinity, and that's not really what it is. Do you think that we've fallen for the image of it versus what it really needs to be?
Yeah, the Europeans did a great job on us, you know, through slavery when they was raping Black men in front of their wives and children.
Yeah,
you know, it wasn't about sexuality. It was about showing my dominance over your Black king.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's sad, that same breaking is happening with our women. Black men are starting to repeat that same cycle that was done to them during slavery to our women. Then you got Black men doing it to each other in the penitentiary. You know what I'm saying? So it's been under attack since the beginning, you know, and still being under attack. But we just have to be conscious of that. And just keep, you know, trying to help and elevate each other into like these little kids. We have to mentor them. You know, we have to talk to these young boys and teach them right. And we got to do something to fight the system with all of these words they coming up with to continue to try to.
These terms and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, all these terms, you know, we really got to fight that. And we got to come up with a plan, because they really trying to take the man out of the home. And it ain't even got nothing to do with race. And there's a book that I've been reading, and it's pretty deep. It's Behold the Pale Horse. And it talks about how this country is breaking the home, the banking systems, just everything, how everything is strategically planned.
Yes, for control.
So they can be in control. Everything that we see, everything is programming. Everything that we do, all of us are programmed. Some of us just program more than others to the detriment, you know. So, you know, we just have to educate ourselves and be more conscious of what's really going on. Me as a Black man, I feel it's my duty and it's my responsibility, especially as a writer and a creator, to always write educational and positive things about us as a people. And especially since Black women have been taking care of me since the beginning of time, I'm going to always write things to uplift and elevate Black women through my experiences that I've experienced and through the experiences that Black women have shared with me, because you all have shared and taught me so much, and I appreciate it.
Well, brother, we appreciate brothers like you, because it's a rare.
It's a rare. You're like a diamond in the rough. I still say segregation. I know Michelle, like, oh Lord, but I really feel like until we as a people get together and start healing each other, loving each other, showing that we could do this without begging to be in somebody's playground that don't want you, is really where the true healing starts. I feel like long as we're amongst the enemy, I'm just going to say the enemy or the system, we're going to always have this problem, because we're going to have the programming. You're going to have the people. You got the enemy building your schools. Right now in Houston, the state is going to take over the school system.
And we know already. We already know why that is. So.
So, and yeah, out of all the school, out of all the areas in Houston, you want, I mean, in Texas, you want to pick Houston. Yeah. That's the most predominant Black and Spanish area of Texas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, when Black people realize, and I keep saying it, we have to retreat to each other and depend on each other once again. Put and educate our children about Black history, the Black greats, all the adventures we did, all the beautiful things that Black men and Black women have done is so much, and avoid the cis and these new terms and all this other BS that has no meaning for us. None. I will leave this earth feeling that we need to be amongst each other.
Yeah, and that's and what we got to look out for. We got to get back to it takes a village to raise a kid too.
Yeah,
I've heard too many people saying, "Forget them kids. I got my own to take care of." Man, we can't neglect nobody, kids. Anybody that we in proximity to help, we need to help them and help each other. We have to.
A lot of these people don't want help. With me, I work with a lot of kids. I watch different parenting, how the children act, and I still some good kids out here. I've definitely seen some Black kids with this extra coddling, this privilege, like you owe me, you're supposed to. I see these parents acting like servants and not parents.
Well, let me pull up this question.
Entitled, real quick. Entitled children. That's what I wanted. These kids entitled, and if you say something or redirect them in a polite, don't speak to my child. Don't damn you and your child.
Well, let me pull up this comment here from the chat from Anthony Williams. Nowadays, some women not only want equality, they want to dominate relationships, career, sports, etc.
And you know what? Like he said, some. So he's very factual on that. And y'all spoke on it earlier.
Yeah.
You know, you do have some women that want to dominate the man in the relationship.
Yeah.
You know,
and they normally gonna look for someone they think they could control. I don't want to dominate no man.
I don't want to dominate no man.
And y'all can look, y'all can have the military, y'all can have football, God bless you.
Mm-hmm. Do it.
But you know, like that when like I want to go back to that video earlier when they were talking about roles. And I think some people, like that Black man, had a confusion on roles. It's almost like, if I'm able to change a tire better than you, then fine, let me do that. I am handy. Michelle will say this when it's putting things together, fixing things. You may be better cooking. That is not a role as far as to say, oh, you a woman or I'm being too manly.
About playing on each other's strengths.
You pick up each other's strengths. Wherever you lack, the other need to pick up at. If you good at do fixing a tire, and I know how to fix a tire, guess what? I'm going to let you fix that tire.
Matter of fact, I wanted to ask Avery. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Avery.
Now, I was just saying, you know, we going back to the Black guy in that video, and I don't even know any men like that. So
no, I've heard men say this.
I know I agree with you.
Yeah.
Totally. But what I'm saying is the circle of people that I'm around, I wouldn't even associate with that type of man. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's a big thing. Because who you choose to associate and bring that energy into your life, I'm good without it. What advice would you give Black men who feel pressured to conform to certain expectations of masculinity while wanting to also be authentic in their relationships?
I would say spend some alone time with yourself. Even though I've been married 25 years, my wife understands that I need my alone time. So I'm still learning about me every day. Mm-hmm. So to me, if some man is trying to conform to some standards that somebody else has set, he's still lost and doesn't know who he is. So he needs to spend some time with himself, do some soul searching and find out his identity, find out who he is.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it'd be nice if we could just do what they used to do back in the day in the African villages where a boy became of age and he had to take a task to prove his manhood or go to a camp. But we don't have those resources. So most folks who don't have that kind of guidance and surroundings, they'll just grab, you know, random information and think that's the truth and run with it.
So I got to back to
reprogramming.
No, go ahead, finish. No, I was going to say, even if we don't have a lot of, we do have some things that we could do. And like you said, you can't leave children behind just because they're not yours. I feel like if you have a male cousin that's older, an uncle, someone, a grandfather, spend some time with that man, that male child. But I also go back to, you know, that woman that I call horse laughter.
Oh, Yana.
And she says something. This is why young men at a certain age had to be taken out of a home, Because if you have a toxic woman in that house, your mama, feeding you negativity, telling you that you ain't shit.
You preaching now.
You ain't a man. You just like your sorry daddy. That yeah. does so much damage. And I think that's that is more. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that is more of the damage that we are looking at that's happening to a lot of our black men.
Some people needed to hear that. I'm glad you said it.
Yeah, because yeah, she spoke right truth there. When I said that. That is the most toxic thing you could do to any your little girl child or your male child, but especially for a woman to tell that to her son.
Son, mm-hmm. that's heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
Now, that's supposed to be your first woman, example.
Yeah.
You but know see, what? Like, that boxer that just won the championship, Crawford, he mm-hmm. spoke about how abusive his mom was. Have y'all seen that?
No, I haven't seen that one.
He said when he was coming up, his mom used to tell him, "You ain't shit. You ain't gonna be shit." She used to pay little boys in the neighborhood to try to whoop him.
I did see that.
But he would always whoop their ass. But he said they got a better relationship now. But what I respect about him, he was so open and transparent about it to this day. He said it still hurts him to this day because he said, "That's my mom. That's my first love." And y'all know from my book, Letters to My Daughters, I said that, you know, a daughter, a father is a daughter's first love. Yes. So don't be the first man to break her heart. So the opposite happened with him. His mother broke his heart. Mm. So
I think we have a lot of these toxic.
True.
But I do think there's a lot of toxic women having these children. They are mad either because they picked the wrong man or the man did them dirty and they beat these children down. And that's why they would say at a certain age, a young man need to be taken out the house. See, Kevin ain't never had to be taken out of the house because he wasn't raised by toxic women. And he had that man. Right. You know, as much as, even if I disliked his dad, I never spoke about him, around him.
Around him,
I never told him you ain't shit. Mm-hmm. I would get upset and tell him you got so much potential that you are not doing what you need with it.
To do. Yeah.
There's a way whenever you can't motivate somebody by shit out of them.
Yeah, whenever I get upset with him, that's exactly, I'm like, boy, you got too much God-given talent that you're not working on.
See, even when you're upset, you're still giving him positive affirmations instead of beating him down. And that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
I mean, you have to. I mean, because a child, with you being connected with your child, whether it be mother or father, whatever word you say to your child upon them, or your overall opinion about them, some of them may act like it don't affect them, but it does. I mean, the man is now grown and a professional boxer, and he still is affected by the words of his mother.
He's so hurt tremendously.
Yeah, so I mean, it you know, words carry with you more than a spanking will, because a spanking you're gonna get over with, and you'll be in pain for a brief moment.
That words bruise of things, words is deeper and lasts longer.
They last. It's like a repeat. Now, that's how humans operate in general. Whatever's negative, even though we've moved from that situation, it still does a replay in your head. So I can only imagine how detrimental it is for a mother to say that to her son. And I think that's another reason why we got, like you said, like too much toxic nonsense going on.
Yeah, because just like Rochelle said
earlier, the trauma that the mother had, she's putting it on the child.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's not fair. So I'm hoping we get that shit together. But in your opinion,
that's what I tell you. If you're not ready to be a parent, if you know you are toxic, don't have kids. It's simple. Cross your legs or take some damn, use a condom, something. But my attitude is, but the first thing when a man starts telling me that, oh, I don't like my mama, I'm like, oh, I can't talk to you.
I can't deal with your ass.
I don't like hearing that either.
Yeah, because see, I already know if you don't like your mama, that means I'm gonna have a lot of problems with you.
Right.
And a lot of them that say that, they hate women. A lot of them. Yes.
And I don't understand that, but you know what? I think it also comes down to a role of having self-love. Like, self-love is self-care play and navigating relationships, particularly when considering the challenges that black men might face. Do you think that's a major, I guess, weight on black men? When it comes to having self-love for themselves and not being so negative on regardless what prior experience they may have had.
Man, trauma is serious. I deal with trauma every day as a black. When I step out the house, I'm wondering if I'm going to get pulled over by the cops. Am I going to get shot? Am I going to get, you know, beat by them? Just it's a lot on a black man. Being a black man in America, being a black woman, being anybody black in America.
Being black, period.
It's traumatizing. So all of us deal with some type of trauma, but as we have to put some of that trauma aside in order for us to have a successful relationship, or either go to therapy, or either go, either talk to our spouses or our girlfriends about the trauma that we're dealing with. We can't allow that trauma to keep Black men and Black women separated from having relationships.
Yeah. I believe, again, to go back to what I said earlier, segregation, because if it was a Black community, as a Black man, you would not be that scary of worrying about the police rolling up on you, shooting you up, or coming to your house while a Black woman is sleeping and shooting her up in her damn sleep. This is why I said it's so serious that Black folks have got to take this serious about unifying with each other. And I make jokes of saying that all of us can't go, because some of us are so brainwashed and so used to the bullshit and living in it that I don't think there's no help for you. So there's no need for you to come. Save the ones. You know, what did your girl Harriet Tubman say? I could have freed a lot more if they knew they were slaves.
Right.
And you know what? That's what I appreciated about that Alabama situation.
What?
How those people instinctively reacted. It wasn't no thought into it. You know what I'm saying? And we need to be that way about relationships with each other. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to throw the hat up and go save each other in relationships.
That part.
You know what I'm saying? Go save our children. Why that same energy that they had that day can't be applied to giving our children positive affirmations of love, giving our wives positive affirmations of love. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And giving their men positive affirmations of love. Using social media to give positive affirmations of love instead of us sharing all the negativity that we see on social media. Just think about if we shared positive affirmations about each other daily, how we can change social media and change how kids feel about each other.
I truly feel that people that are positive actually have real lives and ain't on Instagram all fucking day. I'm serious, because, you know, I got things to do. I can't be on Instagram. And I've told people this is why I fell back all the way, because I realize it's mainly mentally disturbed and toxic people that are on IG all day and all night.
A lot of them are children.
But you know what? I'm seeing folks from our age, from the age of 25 up to 60 to 70 on IG with the shits, and they're sharing and trauma bonding. That's all they're doing.
Speaking of trauma bonding, Tuggle asked a good question. If you could speak on the men who want to be the disciples of Kevin Samuels.
Them dude, they just looking for somebody to follow them. They trying to get a following, you know.
And you know, the funny thing is, Kevin Samuels didn't believe half that shit he was saying. People got to realize that man realized there's a lot more money in dealing with women with trauma. And those are the women that paid Kevin Samuels attention, because I didn't give a shit about what he was saying. Okay,
He didn't even start off like that. He started off really bashing men.
But
he wasn't getting no following, so he switched it up. People don't even realize that.
And that's how it took. Do the switch up, and then you would have the same tragic people, men and women, falling up in that live, and then women that would kill me that would go live with him. I'm like, sweetheart, you know you're not in his bracket. You don't even need that. You need to type a question in. Don't cam up. Don't even call in.
Just... But it's almost like I just told one of our homegirls, I see men on there that be bashing women, talking crazy, and the audience is full of women. And I'm thinking to myself, all you bitches got trauma.
I never understood why they listen to that negativity either. I always wondered
because
why.
They are unhealed trauma bonding fools.
but you know what though? It's another myth out there that's going on, another narrative that's out there. They say Black love don't exist.
Oh, that lie.
All of the men that I know and associate with been married 10 plus years. You know what I'm saying? So Black love does exist. You know, you might not be in at that point now, whoever, you know, you are, but I mean, it does exist. We just have to be patient and pay attention, and
all have to do self-healing. I've gotten better with how I react to things, because I decided, you know what, I'm gonna do,
And I use my crystals and me being spiritual, like I'm using this dog on New Blue Moon. Whatever works for you that's going to help bring you up to your higher self. Because, see, I know 20 and 30, I wasn't ready for no damn marriage. I know I wasn't. You just, it's common sense. So a lot of it's about what was me. And then a lot of times when you know you picking trash niggas, trash women, that tells me you still need some self-healing and some work to do.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. And I mean, and then sometimes, like I said, it's good what Rocky's, I got to endorse, because definitely taking a look at yourself to see why you are running into toxic energy after toxic energy. So you're entertaining it by default. So maybe it's time to take a step back and do some self-examination. And I think that's where we need to all start at, because we are all so easy. So, she did me wrong. He did me wrong. Well, how many times did he do you wrong? How many times did she do you wrong? And you still went back, or you went to somebody else with the same toxic traits.
Or you can't get your stuff together because one is stepping out. You can't focus on your relationship if you got a dude over here, or if he got another woman over here. You can't focus on it. And then too, because I'm very big on sexual energy, then you're bringing me her bullshit, her toxic shit. I'm sleeping with him. I'm bringing you all his toxic shit.
Right.
We're not going to talk about venereal disease. I'm talking about energy from this person.
Yeah.
That I don't need. So while you're in the house, if you think it's just you two, it's four motherfuckers in there arguing.
Yeah. Yeah, they having the whole conversation.
Your side dude and his side chick is in there with you.
They talking to each other.
Yes. And people I don't understand why folks get it and why folks are so loose and so extra sex. Because me and Michelle were just talking about how we see so many grown-ass people, men and women, talk about sex like they ain't never had it.
Oh. Yeah, you know what though? I'm tripping. I see cats in their 50s bragging about sex. I mean, we sexual beings. We supposed to have sex. I mean, that ain't no accomplishment. You know what I'm saying?
But you know, I gotta remind them, you know, roaches and dogs have sex.
Yeah.
What is your problem? Yeah. All you doing is disrespecting yourself and taking on some toxic ass energy that you don't even realize you got.
Yeah,
it's sad. And
y'all have me cracking up over here.
No, but I'm real talk. If I start dating anybody else, I'm like, dude, I'm gonna need you to take some spiritual baths, get them bitches off you.
Say, but on the real though, that's some serious stuff though. You're right about that.
I'm for real. And if that nigga want to come back, you're gonna have to soak. What's that damn water in Africa where you don't drown?
Or the got someone talking?
Yeah, take your ass over there. Get all that energy off of you.
Look, women and men, right? Both, right?
Both. Let me tell you something. I take spiritual baths.
Matter of fact, just pour the water on the ass because we don't want to intoxicate the river. Okay, it's too much shit.
I take spiritual baths to untie spiritual attachments, untie sexual energy by praying over my water and adding salt, Epsom salt or Himalayan salt to my bath.
Mm-hmm.
And I soak in it. I may have some meditation music going on, but all I know I'm doing, and I V-steam. Women need to V-steam. Get that energy out your coochie, ladies. Get it out. And it's also good to keep it wet, you know? But
look, a disclaimer. Avery Washington didn't say that.
I'm just saying everybody need to be doing that. If you know you've had a lot of different sexual partners, if you have never took you a salt bath and prayed over it, I advise you to do it. And it's going to take more than just one salt bath.
I can't with Rocky. Okay.
You can't, but trust me. You're going to be like, why is that nigga splashing in the tub? And I'm just over there pouring salt in the water. It's like, that's what's going on.
He going to draw up like a snail.
Sound like you drowning somebody.
I'm gonna drown that Negro with salt. Get them hoochies up off you. I don't want no hoochie demons.
Rocky, what you sipping on over there? I see you drinking a little something. You got a cocktail over there?
Yeah, she got her vodka and cranberry juice. So that's the house specialty over here. Oh my God, man, this has been one of them conversations that
it's always awesome conversation with Avery.
Always, oh, always
man,
awesome.
Hey, I love y'all, man. I love y'all so much. I appreciate y'all so much.
Man, we appreciate you, Avery. Now, if you guys have not gone to his website, could you drop where the people could follow you and purchase your merchandise?
Yes, my author website is averywashington.com. You can purchase all several of my books there, or you can go to Amazon and you can purchase audiobooks, Kindles, paperback, hardcovers, and you can follow me on Instagram at author Avery Washington.
Please follow that man because I'm telling you.
Hold on, ladies, don't be in his DM because you ain't got to worry about his wife.
And this is my latest book, Over-Sexualization of Black Women in America. This book continues to stay on the bestsellers list. So this is a must-have. I talk about the history from the 1700s all the way up to 2023 about how the Europeans have planned and plotted and over-sexualized Black women.
Just got through rewatching that story about Sarah.
That book, when I read it before we talked to Avery last time he was on the show, that book is the truth. I'm telling you. I'm going to have to give it a second read because you hit on so much profound history and facts in that book. And trust me, it's enlightening. You will never get bored of one of his books, never. Just like this brother tell you the way he thinks and why how he speaks, it's all the same tone as in the book.
Oh, it's manly tone.
It's manly tone.
It's not toxic masculinity, is it?
Hell no, we don't do that over here.
Hey, now
I'm self-conscious. Now I gotta start wondering if I'm doing something wrong.
Man, look, stay masculine, and I tell all Black men, stay masculine, stay true to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let nobody try to tell you, especially if it ain't your wife or your girlfriend.
Yeah.
If it ain't somebody that you living with and dealing with on a regular basis, damn what they talking about. Because if I listen to people talking about, oh, Rocky, you so mean. Anyone has dated me in the last, that nigga thought it was hilarious. You mean. Oh, girl, you pussy. That's just, because I'm mushy. Yeah. I'm very mushy. So that's why I'm like, okay, y'all don't know me well.
Yeah. So they ain't even worth the addressing.
Yeah, so God bless you.
Man, you here with the bluntness. You know, I like it.
Sometimes people need it, Avery. Yeah. This is the problem. I don't have time to coddle everybody, okay?
But you know, they used to call me crazy when I be blunt like that, you know.
No.
Are you crazy? No, I ain't crazy. I'm just telling you the truth.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
When a woman does it, you know, the new B word is a bully.
Yeah.
Bullying mean. Well, mean eat.
You know what? Thank you again, Avery, for joining us. We'll go to a break. Then we're going to close the show out. Avery Washington, everybody. Thanks again, Avery.
All right. Peace. Appreciate y'all.
All right. Appreciate you, too. Y'all make sure y'all go to that man's website, buy them books. We're going to go to a quick break before we close the show out. Hoochie, calm down over there. I don't know what the hell going on. Okay, stop it. Break time.
The book When Radio Was King by T.C. Tompkins, music industry icon, shares its experiences and journeys from its early years to the present while working with developing artists such as Sade, Luther Vandross, and Teddy Riley. T.C. Tompkins, specializing in identifying legendary artists and launching their music to the top of the charts. Get your copy today, When Radio Was King, also available in ebook.
All right, welcome back. We want to thank again Avery Washington for joining us this evening for a great show. Rocky, did you enjoy talking to Avery?
I always enjoy talking to Avery.
Yes, you do. Because I know we were talking about who can we have on to have this conversation with. Avery, that's the main. Avery. And we're going to have him back on for another one of them serious conversations. That's what we appreciate, bringing that brother on here. So we support him wholeheartedly. Heffa, you looking forward to your break next week?
Yes, I love to take a break every once a month. I need it. I some working since.
And y'all have to understand, we would love to do the show every week, but Rocky and I both work more than one job. Okay?
I've got 10 jobs, man.
And it, you know, if we were just doing audio, we could get away with it because you got to get all made up and everything for the YouTube channel. So we are definitely...
Last week, I didn't put no makeup on, y'all. I ain't gonna lie. I was like, let me put my glasses on, for which I need to be having on all the time.
Yeah.
Every time.
But,
I said, I'm going to do something tonight. You know, I wasn't feeling, you know, I was tired last week.
I know. We were both very tired last week, but we pulled it off.
It was going into this retrograde that just had everybody like, ah, but it seemed like now I feel fine.
Yes.
And that's after I cursed somebody out, too, I started feeling ready.
I think every time you curse somebody out is like a, you know, a medicine for you of some sort. So, you know, that's the way it is. So no show next week. We will be back on the 13th. You guys have a safe, happy holiday. Heffa, you want to just close zone out here?
Yeah, I holla.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Gossip & Heffa's podcast. We hope you had a blast plus during this episode. And if you did, we appreciate your support. Please take a moment to leave us a sparkling 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Your feedback means the world to us. Remember, you can join our lively conversations live every Wednesday on YouTube at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, so mark your calendars and don't miss out on the fun. If you're interested in becoming a show sponsor or learning more about us, please visit our website at gossipandheffas.com. Thanks again for being part of our podcast community. We can't wait to catch up with you in the next episode.